Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm so glad to be with you today. I'm doing a series. It's a scriptural series, which I most of the time do. But this one is, I'm just going point by point by point through all the scriptural references to what we build our teaching on Christ Our Life Ministries. And actually, this little booklet you can get on our website, The Liberating Secret website, and it is Christ Our Life Scriptural Basis. And if you have these scriptures for yourself as points of references, and you can look them up yourself. But let me read to you what I wrote on the back of this little booklet. I said, "We at Christ Our Life Ministries desire to present a clear biblical basis to Christian truth. In this booklet, you will discover the primary scriptural points of union with Christ in which the Spirit has commissioned us to share with the body of Christ. You will find that these union truths harmonize perfectly with the Apostle Paul's presentation in his epistles." Because, I mean, we love Paul's epistles, and I often teach Romans, as you all know. I always say, oh, this is my favorite book, and that is my favorite book. But, you know, when I start teaching, they all are. So somebody always teases me about that. Well, which one is really your favorite? Well, they all are. But today we're going to be talking about man. Last time we talked about God. I think we did two programs on that, and loved those programs. But now we're going to discuss man, the creature, the created form. Okay, we said that God Almighty created matter and creation and persons and animals and things in order to express himself through. Well, okay, because he's spirit behind everything. He's the source and spirit behind all things. Now, that does not make the thing God, and we talked about that last time too. We're not saying that the thing is God. That is pantheism. That's what the problem of Romans chapter 1 is talking about, when man was worshiping idols and calling things God. What we're saying is God is God and man is man. And the two, okay, God is the creator, man is the created form, and we're the top creation. Now, when God created Lucifer before his fallen state, and I think we're going to talk about that later, I think maybe next time, he was called Lucifer, which is light bearer. So, and he was the top creation before humanity was created in the garden, when God created man in his own image. Okay, now what is man? What is the created, high, top created being? Who is he? Well, he's pretty special. He's pretty great. He's made in God's image. And redeemed man is, oh my goodness, we've been put in Christ, and we're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We're so important to God. I always say there's a man sitting on the throne of the whole universe, the man Christ Jesus, and we're in that man. So man's pretty important that God would come and be incarnate as a man to redeem man back to himself, so that we could be really what we were before we fell, before Satan stole us away. But through that fall, we got deceived into thinking that man is some independent being, able to be and do and think his own thoughts and be his own person, be his own God. And that really came through the satanic thinking of who we inherited at the fall, which is Satan himself. We've got the nature of the God of this world, and that's exactly how we think. So, the truth is, though, that man is a derivative creature and a totally dependent being, not independent at all. Only God is independent. Man is dependent. All creation is dependent upon God. So, man is a receiver and not a producer. He cannot produce anything in and of himself at all, but he's a receiver. So, and I like to say to Christians that if I think I'm a producer, then I think I ought to be a achiever. So I'm always trying to achieve. And when the truth is that man is simply a receiver. So I have a little plaque that I put up. It says, we need to die to achieving so we can live by receiving, because man is nothing but a receiver. And let me read to you first some scriptures in Psalms that talk about man. I love these, and actually the name of my chart presentation is What is Man? And it came from these two scriptures I'm about to read to you. One is in Psalms chapter 8. And I want you to go to the original translation, as original as you can, and you will see, and I like probably the New American Standard Version on this one. Normally I teach from the King James, but, you know, I like different translations as well. And the New American Standard in my book is tops, just like the King James. It's pretty close to the true meaning. So, but anyway, it says this, What is man? This is Psalms 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast created him a little lower than Elohim, than God himself. And it says, thou and crowned him with honor and glory. He has done that with no other creature that he has created, like he has created man in his own image. That's why we are so put down, so accused, so much in self-hatred, because we have believed what Satan has said about us, and not the very fact of our original creation. We were created a little lower than God, and through redemption and through redeemed, and now redeemed humanity is raised in Christ and seated at the right hand of God. So, my goodness, we are God's great and magnificent creatures. We need to understand ourselves. We need to really die, or we need to replace the lies that have been imparted to us by the residual thinking that came to us through the fall, which are like our grave clothes from the past. We still have this thinking that we're independent beings. So, we have to teach the Church of God the truth of what the Bible says about the human being. Well, it has 6 different illustrations of what the human being is. And you will find that in these 6 illustrations of what the human being is, that the Bible proclaims, that Jesus himself proclaimed, and Paul, is that the human has no power source of its own. That we don't have our own abilities, our own powers, our own resources, our own security within ourselves. We don't. And that's why when we trust in our flesh, we're often so shaken and so tormented all the time, because we're trusting, we're trying to draw from the wrong source. I had our good friend Steve Pettit said that man's problem is that we have a source problem. And the source, what's that problem? We're trying to draw from our own flesh securities instead of from the one that lives inside of us, because we're still deceived into thinking that we're an achiever, somebody that can produce and can be something apart from a union with Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, this is what the Bible says about us. And let me start first with the first example, which is vessel. Let me tell you what these examples are. First one is a vessel. The next one is a branch. The human is called a temple. The human is called a slave. The human is called a wife. The human is called a body. Okay, so we're a vessel. All right, let's look that up. Okay, the first place I'm thinking is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And I think this is a pretty familiar verse. And it says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, very clear. Okay, the human being is an earthen vessel. Somebody called us a clay pot. Well, we're more than a clay pot. We're really a person, a being. We're not just a pot. But we've got to see ourselves first as just a receiver. So let's just declare what the Bible says. We're a vessel. But we have a treasure in this vessel. Oh, my goodness. And the power is not of the vessel, The power is of the treasure that lives in the vessel. So if we want more power, we can't be depending on ourselves, or we can't be even asking God for help to give me more power. I talked about that today with my husband. My husband said, gosh, when I have more strength, I can go do this and go do that. And I said, oh, no, God's not going to give you more strength. But he will be the power within you. He's created you to be a clay pot, so you don't feel strong. Oh, but if you walk in weakness in the beginning and trust in the power of God within you, you see, the power will come out of that weakness. So God has made us clay pots. And then it says in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is God. So we're always concentrating, and the devil is always tempting us to concentrate on what I should achieve, what I have to do. And so here the cup is trying to be the content. See, that's why the Christianity doesn't work, actually, is because we're simply the cup. Now, the cup doesn't become the coffee, and the coffee doesn't become the cup. That's why there's two different functions. What's the function of the cup? It's just to contain. What's the function of the coffee? It's to be there available for others to drink from, you see. So he's the power source that lives inside. But we have always thought, I'm my own power source. So that's what our hauntings are about, is believing that lie. Next, it says that the human being is a branch. Now, wait a minute. Let me go back to vessels, because there's a verse in Romans chapter 9 that I want to read. And it also says we're vessels. You see, the human part doesn't change. It's which spirit lives in the human part. Okay, the human part is always a vessel. It's always a branch. It's always a temple. It's always a wife. It's always a body. So, but it's never the God that lives in the temple or the head that controls the body. It's never the boss. You see, that's what we have to die to. We have to take our original way of functioning, which was continually draw from the source of God Almighty. That's how Adam lived. He drew from the source of God Almighty and lived from that until he fell. Then he started coming up with his own wisdom, his own ideas of how life worked, and that was really the essence of his fall, was coming up with his own independent thinking and Satan tempting him to believe it. Okay, so we're always a vessel. You'll never get past your vesselhood and knowing your vesselhood on this earth. Guess what? Neither did Jesus. Jesus, he left the heavens to become man. When he became man, he took upon himself weakness and humanity that is nothing but a vessel. So he himself had to draw from the well. He had to live as from receiving and not from trying to achieve. If he had tried to achieve one thing that he did on this earth, he would have sinned. Because that really is the essence of all sin, is that we're drawing from the creation for power and source to live our life. And if Jesus had lived that way, if he had done that one time, he would have sinned. That's why he always said, the things I do, I see the Father do, I do. And of my human self, I can do nothing. I'm nothing and can do nothing. Why? Because he was a vessel. We never get past vesselhood. And any time we start thinking too much of ourselves, and I always say we've got to get over ourselves, but when we start thinking and get too impressed with ourselves, God will always put us back and cause some weakness to come over us and cause so that we can be reminded forever and ever, oh, I'm not the source. I'm not the source. I'm drawing from him who is my life. And he is the power, he is the strength, and I'm trusting him. So, we're vessels. But Romans chapter 9, that's what I was going to read from. It says in verse 22 and 23 that we were vessels of wrath, and anybody that does not have Christ is a vessel of wrath. Or, now through the cross, we are vessels of God's mercy. But we're always vessels. We're always just a container, before salvation, after salvation. Before and after, we're always the same. So that vesselhood never changes. The branch never changes. And I love these scriptures. And these scriptures are often taught in John 15. Love this. The vine and the branch. I was just talking to my husband the other day. And he said, Mom, you know, I'm thinking of the vine and the branch. Because he listens to the Bible almost every day on tape. And I think it's a dramatized version. It's called The Word of Promise, I believe. And I think you can probably, hopefully, find it on the internet. We've been having some trouble lately, but hopefully you can. It's dramatized by actors, and they're wonderful. When they teach the Bible, it's really read right straight from the scriptures, but each actor has a different part, and it really makes it great. He's been reading Romans, and I'm telling you, Romans is becoming his favorite book, too. So, and actually, he's been listening to Romans. And so, anyway, he was talking about the vine and the branch, just like what we're discussing here. Okay, this is John 15. Give you a little quick history. Jesus was baptized at the Jordan. He was tempted in the wilderness for 6 weeks by Satan, anointed to preach the gospel, lived his life of just continually receiving from his Father, and he got fixed in that in the wilderness when Satan was trying to tempt him off of his position as a human being. He learned what it meant to be a human being when he was tempted by Satan, which is a weak vessel. You always have his vesselhood. It's really what, I'm going to say this real quick, his vesselhood is what Job didn't understand. Job thought he was his own righteousness. A lot of Christians, we think we're our own righteousness. We're not. God has to take us through some suffering and through some chastisement to cause us to know, oh, wait a minute, I'm not the one producing righteousness here. I have to draw my righteousness from the nature within me, which is the divine nature, which is Christ himself. So, John 15, now Jesus, so he said, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me, the Father. I don't have my own words, I don't have my own life, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. Now he's saying, now I want to teach you disciples exactly how to function as a human being when I'm gone. Let me teach you something. And his teaching was, wait a minute, you're like a branch. Now, I'm the vine, and my Father is the true husbandman, the one that takes care of the garden. Okay. But I'm the vine, and you're the branch. And without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Okay. So let me read that in John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same abideth, bringeth forth fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can't produce your own fruit. You know, I often say that we Christians think of ourselves as in separation. We do, because that's another part of the residual effects of the fall, is separate thinking. So I'm seeing God way off, and I'm here, and I've got to serve him way off. Just like the vine is way off in heaven, and I'm here, a branch, but I see separation. So I'm seeing myself as separate. If I think of a tree and a branch laying on the ground, and we're, you know, and we look at that branch and we say, why aren't you producing fruit? We're beating that branch up because it's not producing fruit. But still, we're thinking from separation. You see, the Bible says, if you abide in me and I in you, that means that's union. So how do you abide? By faith. I'm taking it that you're living in me, Lord. So you're the one that's bringing forth the fruit in me. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not us producing love. Somebody said, well, can't God help me to love more and have more joy? And can't God help me? No, God's not going to help you do a thing. He's going to be it. You don't take the place of the content. You're the branch. You're not what's in the cup. You're the cup. Okay. Now you're the branch. Another illustration. You just simply abide in him by faith. He's in me. I'm in him. That's what God says. That's the truth. And without him, I can do nothing. Oh, but I'm trusting him. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because his sap comes through the branch and strengthens me. And here I am. I have the power to do things I never thought I could do. I never thought I could be a TV or television host. And here I am. I never thought I could teach the Bible, and here I am. You see? So, but where is it coming? Where is it coming from? It has to be coming from the Spirit, because I could never do this. And people that have all these natural talents, we better watch all these natural talents. It's better that we come from weakness and don't know how to do anything and trust the Spirit, believe me. Okay, so the Bible calls us a branch. The Bible calls us temples. Well, the presence of God was in the temple. In the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory, which was the presence of God, hovered over the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. So that's where the presence of God was in the temple. Now, the temple wasn't the presence. It was only the house that contained the presence of God. We also know there were false temples, didn't we? Don't we? There were temples of Baal. Okay, the false god of Baal, presenting himself to be God. God says, there is no God but me. You're a no god, a non-god. Because there is no God for me. You're a fake god, a phony god, a counterfeit god. Because there is no God but God himself. And that's where he resided in the Old Testament. That's where his presence was. Now, the presence of God and the Shekinah glory resides right inside of us, because Jesus is when the glory came back on earth. And through the birth of Jesus Christ, the glory of God came back. And then on us receiving Christ, living inside of us, now the glory can transmit out of us through to other people. And then we move from glory to glory. So now his presence is within us. But the illustration and the Old Testament illustrations are New Testament realities. So we can see that the human being is nothing but a house. Okay? The church building is not the church. This body, it says it in Romans chapter 9. Look what it says in Romans. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Oh, gosh, I've got the wrong one again. Okay, it says this. It's worth waiting. What know you not that your body is the temple, is the house that holds the presence of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? There it is. Your bodies, your humanity is what you're the church of the living God. So, but the temple doesn't change. But you know what? I always say this. I've known people to take that to such an extreme that you think that there's no transformation. Well, I'm telling you, when the living God lives inside of this same body where Satan used to live, he transforms me. He has transformed me because in union with him being my life, I am not the same person, the weak little wimpy person, the insecure, hated herself person. I'm not that person anymore. That's when I didn't know that Jesus was my life, you see. So there is transformation, but the temple, the essence of my humanity and my personality, they don't change. What I like and what I don't like changes, because now this is all I like. Used to, no way would I like this, you see. So in that sense, our humanity doesn't change. The Bible calls us wives, and that it calls us that in Romans chapter 7. We were joined to Satan. He was my husband. Now he's my former husband. He's still trying to tell me what to do. No, I'm joined to Christ. Now he's the one that I live by. And he's the one that produces the fruits right through me. And I mean, a wife can't have babies without the true husband producing the fruit. And the last thing that I want to talk about is that he is the head and we are the body. Now this is a bigger picture of oneness. There he is. The head tells the body what to do. But when I see a person, I don't divide them up. There's a head and a body. I certainly, now, if I'm a brain surgeon, maybe I would. I'd think about the head before I would think about the body. But basically, when you see a person, you're just thinking, that's oneness. This is a picture of oneness. And he is dictating, the head is dictating the body, the behavior of the body. Okay? Now, when I'm drawing my source from the one head, the one wisdom, which is God's own mind. I'm drawing my mentality from Him. I'm drawing my security from Him. Then this head causes my body to come forth and behave rightly. If we want right behavior, then we're going to have to trust Christ as our wisdom and draw from Him. I say the whole world is living in foolishness, and a lot of creation of Christians are living in foolishness, basically because they're not believing and they're not trusting in Christ, my wisdom. Christ is made unto you wisdom, and He is your head. So the body never changes. The body doesn't tell the head what to do. The head tells the body what to do. Okay, who are we? Vessels, branches, temples, slaves, wives, bodies, and guess what? The human self, the human being, is simply a helpless expression of somebody else living inside me, expressing His love nature or His want and needy self thoughts through us. That's a lie. Jesus is in you if you are a Christian. You take that. He's your life, and you're just a helpless expression of Him. Thank you for joining me, and God, may God richly bless you. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylvia.p@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.